The Metropolitan Police are to launch an investigation into a number of events in Downing Street to see if any coronavirus laws were broken. The latest event to hit the headlines is a gathering to mark Boris Johnson's birthday, but Transport Secretary Grant Shapps is downplaying what went on at that event.
I know that this is a group of people who work together all day long, will have had meetings many times together as necessitated by the pandemic response, and on the Prime Minister's birthday, as it happened earlier in the day when he'd been given a cake, he was given a cake.
The former head of the British Army, Lord Dannett, says the Russians will not get an easy ride if they invade Ukraine. Meanwhile, US President Joe Biden has put 8,500 troops on heightened alert. The UK-based consumer goods giant Unilever is to cut 1,500 jobs worldwide. And McDonald's is to launch a chicken version of its Big Mac in the UK and Ireland. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
Right now, foreign travel looks even more unpredictable than ever. Whether you're dreaming of a sun-soaked or just a short city break, wherever you're going, begin your trip today with a visit to
Don't Compare!
Travel insurance is too important to leave to the last minute. T's and C's at gocompare.com.
Colourful.
Coming up
colourful,
next,
colourful,
Iola colourful, on colourful radio.
Hello, Britain. Albert Einstein here. To those of you who have got a smart meter, I applaud you. You are helping to modernise Britain's outdated energy system, helping us use more renewable energy. The downside of doing this message on radio is that you can't see that I'm proudly toasting you with a cup of Earl Grey. But the upside is, you can't see that I'm still in my dressing gown. Cheers.
Search Get a Smart Meter today. Consumer action required. Eligibility may vary.
Solar Claims UK have helped hundreds of people claim thousands of pounds in compensation for solar panels which haven't delivered the returns promised. In fact, our average successful claim over the last 5 months is £5,103. If you bought solar panels with a loan from Barclays, Shawbrook, Creation or Ecano, then text SOLAR to 66777. Text SOLAR to 66777 now.
You don't need a claims management company to make a claim, and if unsuccessful, you can refer it free to the Financial Ombudsman.
It's the first month of a new year, and I hope you're keeping safe. Wish you a happier, prosperous, but most of all, a healthier year. So please remember that. COVID-19 is still here and still highly infectious. So if you've not already had your vaccine or booster, it's not too late to book. We now know that people who've not already had their vaccines are 8 times more likely to be hospitalized than those who are fully vaccinated. Getting a booster on top of your 2 vaccination jabs further increases the protection against serious COVID-19 symptoms to over 88%. You can get your booster vaccine 12 weeks after your second dose, so keep everyone safe. Encourage friends and family who haven't been vaccinated to book now or visit a walk-in center. It's easy. Just protect yourself, family and friends. Get your COVID-19 vaccine or booster today. Visit nhs.uk to book your jab appointment or for more info.
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
Your way, I want to be inspired to inspire. Trading of energy, same focus is required. Whatever you choose, believe in yourself, aspire. Wearing your heart upon your sleeve, receive your desire. Center yourself, keep flourishing, just listen to the voice within.
cause I created my reality. Although I don't control all things, I can appreciate love, life's lessons. Yeah. Blessings on blessings, I am open to receiving them. Raising my vibration, attracting all the good things. On this frequency of divine intervention. Although I don't know it, see I can feel them.
Morning, morning, beautiful people. I hope you're well and blessed in all ways. I hope your week has started off well. I have had a great, great start to the week, being that I had a really fantastic, energizing, well, actually, it was quite exhausting, but it was also energizing in terms of, yeah, just feeling my spirit and just being on the right path. So I hope you're feeling as good as I am this morning, or even better. I hope that also my next guest, who's got me really excited, will bring you much joy. She is a beautiful songstress and just a beautiful person in general. That's why I paused, but she's a beautiful person. Her name is Tashai Makeda, and she's an artist hailing from South London. She fuses reggae, soul and R&B to create her own dynamic genre that's dubbed Roots Soul. Absolutely, absolutely soul nourishing music. She spreads messages of divinity and higher power and spirituality. And, you know, she's been bigged up by reggae pioneer David Rodigan on BBC One Extra and Don Letson, BBC Six Music. She's also won the AWSL Music Award in 2020 for Artists of the Future, alongside nominations of Best Newcomer by Borsdale Music and Best Live Performance by the Youth Music Awards. I have no doubt that she will continue to grow and, you know, achieve many, many accolades, because she's just a fantastic, beautiful artist who's super, super talented. So we'll be getting into her new release, which is her EP, Meager Mother Goddess. We'll be talking all about, you know, her empowering the divine feminine and, you know, exploring her own self as a woman, you know, the divine feminine herself, reconnecting with her womb, you know, how her womb helped her to write her music. You know, yes, stay tuned, because you don't know what I'm talking about. You're like, what are you talking about, Ayola? But you know, you'll definitely understand once she's explained it in her own beautiful words. We get into the independent music artists and the impact that the pandemic has had for all of you who are listening, who are independent artists. artist, and also how we as consumers of your music can better support you. So stay tuned, we have a fantastic conversation and I hope that you will enjoy it and find out how Tashai Makeda is owning it.
Just in your own words, I just really would love you to share a little bit about your journey, about how you got into music, where you started, you know, have you always been able to sing? Like, how did it all start?
So I come from a musical background. Like, my mum absolutely loves music. My dad is a songwriter. And I've always loved music. Like, the other day, I was literally thinking about one of my first recordings and it was like me freestyling and I was 3 on a cassette.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been very much from the beginning of my life. And I started performing in like choir and stuff and with a youth band when I was like 7. So I've been performing from quite a young age. And it's been my safety. It's also been something that my dad encouraged me to do. And we had like a reggae youth band in the organisation that I was part of. And we would do a lot of like reggae covers. And at the time I was like, I want to do R&B, like being like a 12-year-old. Like, I want to do what, you know, like my peers are doing. I'm so grateful that I had that foundation, because the lyrics and the consciousness that it allowed me to like tap into from such a young age is something that's really carried me. And yeah, so I've just been performing from when I was really young, lots of other people's songs. And then when I got to when I was 14, I joined a girl group which is called Harmonies.
Okay.
We opened for Master Griffiths, and yeah, that was amazing. I was about 16 at the time. Crazy. So I want to shout out to Jamina and Justice. They're like big sisters.
Yes.
It was such an amazing time to like have had that opportunity to work with other people and like learn to sing.
Yeah, it's such a legend as well. That must have been so nerve-wracking. Like, how old did you say? 16 years old?
I was 16. I was like, I don't think I realized like how major it was until I've got older. Like, and I looked at my accolades and like, wow, like I've actually done that and been around such greatness from a very young age. And yeah, music has always been my go-to. That's the thing that I've been good at. That's when people would see me like, oh, Tasha the singer, like in school, that's what I was known as. And I started to take it seriously, properly, like in about 2016. I like was working in hospitality and I just wasn't happy. It was just like, this is not fulfilling me, this is not serving me. And I went to Ethiopia where my family live and just decided to like tune in to what God wanted me to do. And it was like, you need to sing. And I came back and the rest is history from that moment. That's a bit of in a nutshell.
So like your soul searching journey. So you have family in Ethiopia. I know your family background is Rastafarian, and you said, so you traveled there back to Ethiopia. How long were you there for?
I was there for about a month and a bit.
And how was it? Like, I've not met anyone that's actually stayed there for that long period.
So beautiful. Like, that particular time was quite an interesting time, because I'm not sure if you're aware of the state of Ethiopia right now. It's in a state of emergency. There's tribal war and it's really quite, it's not necessarily a safe space to be in right now. But at that time, it's like, that's when things just started coming up, but it wasn't as you know, serious as it is now, especially with like lockdown.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time in my family's space where they lived on their land, and like just meditated, and the vibe was just so high. Like, I'd never got to those heights before. And it was just beautiful to tune in, and I just wrote so many songs and was able, like, for the first time, like, I find, like, London can be quite distracting.
And absolutely.
I found, like, peace there and was able to, like, explore and meet friends. And, it was a beautiful, beautiful part of my journey, and I'm really glad that I just leaped and was like, go and do that. Do it.
Yeah.
Quit your job. Go to Ethiopia. Come back, and yeah, what happened after then.
Wow. So you quit your job and then you left, and then so what happened when you came back? How did you sort of reignite your career, or how did you start your career at that time? How did you get back into singing?
I literally went to an open mic night, a reggae open mic night, which a friend told me about, and it was amazing. It was at a place called Troy Bar, and so I ended up performing there, and then met like basically everyone that I'm in touch with now. Like I swear I've met everyone at Troy Bar. I ended up hosting the night, so I was like, I hosted the reggae night for 2 years, which was great. I met producers, I've met musicians, like James Shepherd, my guitarist, like we met there. So it was just basically a really, like, that was like the space where it was like a hub where a lot of the scene would go. So that was awesome. And then, yeah, so I'd met a producer, and he'd given me some like rhythms, some old school rhythms, and I had gone through a lot in my personal journey, and also had songs written already from Ethiopia, and a lot of, yeah, I just ended up, it was an accident, I ended up recording an EP. I kind of call it an EP, but it isn't at the same time, because it was like a demo, and I call it an accident. When people ask me, like, that have heard it and listened to it, they're like, so how did that come about? I'm like, well, it was an accident. Like, yeah, she went to the studio and recorded some songs and didn't really think anything of it, and it got passed around, and then the next year I'm being flown to Spain to perform at Rototom, which is like one of reggae's biggest festivals. It's been a journey, and sometimes I need to like tune back into to that 23-year-old and all of those things that she experienced, and just like come back to gratitude.
Absolutely. So what have been, you've mentioned already like one of your major highlights, what have been any challenges that you found, especially as an independent young artist in the sort of the reggae genre? How has that been compared to your contemporaries? I'm sure you've got other musician friends. How has it been for you in this sector, particularly in this genre,
in reggae specifically? I do find that people don't necessarily take you seriously, or like
really,
yeah, or they don't know how to like market in terms of an industry perspective. Like, they don't know what to do with you. Just like, well, reggae doesn't sell, so we're not gonna take you seriously in that way. And then within,
which is crazy,
like, yeah, and I'm just like, I do it because I love it, and what I've created is root soul, so whatever that expression is gonna be that. Like, it could be the most rooted song one day, and then the next song could be house, like, it's whatever my expression is, and not putting myself in boxes. But so yeah, I do find that the major,
when did that root soul formulation or genre that you've created, when did that formulate, and when did you decide to kind of put that together, merge the two?
It's crazy, because I felt like the music that I was even doing with when I was in the group, and the music that I was creating myself, was always had elements of roots and soul. But the name was coined by a good friend of mine called Shakara. He had booked me for a gig, and he actually put on the flyer Empress of Root Soul, and I was like, oh my gosh, like the light bulb.
That's so
I was like, the ancestors were all happy. They were like, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And I just kind of ran with it and expanded on it in even more than just the music, like it being a lifestyle and being connected to your roots and knowing where you are and knowing where you're coming from and being grounded within that and tuning into your soul and living through your purpose, which is some lyrics from my song Root Soul, you know. It's been a journey, and no matter what happens within life, like I want to encourage people and inspire people to live their purpose, but you need to be grounded within yourself in order to fulfill that as well. So yeah, just marrying the two that way.
And I just love the fact as well that you have created your own genre, because like you said, you know, we're not one dimensional, And the fact that, you know, you sing on these things about creating our own purpose and all these things, and you actually created your own genre, and it speaks to the fact that we are our own creators. We can manifest things. We don't have to fit into any particular box, you know. And that's what I love about your music. Like, you know, there's a bit of something on there for everybody. I really want to get into the album, but I'm kind of resisting getting into it just yet. I want to talk about a little bit. We're definitely going to get there, because I just love the album. Just going to say that.
Thank you.
Particularly, I just feel like it's something that is actually needed now. Okay, let's go there. Let's needed. Let's go there. So tell us about where that came from in terms of the album. When did you decide to start writing it, especially given that we've been through this pandemic?
So the album has been in, well, the EP has been in the making for some time, because I had written one of the songs, Messenger, from like 2016, and been performing it all over the world, like, and it had been my statement song. And
that's one of my personal favorites, by the way.
I love that.
I was literally just playing it before I came on as well, so yeah. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, so that kind of, you know, I say I wrote the song, but the song wrote me. So that was from 2016, and I had worked with a few other people, like I worked with different producers, but I didn't necessarily feel like I felt comfortable to like share my voice and what I wanted to say, because they had their own opinions, especially being a young woman in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there are older men that may want you to sing about this or that. And, you know, I wanted to work with people that kind of understood me and saw me and allowed me to just express what I wanted to express. So I started working with James Shepherd and Calvin First Ibenian, who are like the main producers of the album. And the first song that we wrote, which was in 2018 together, was Jan O's, which is like one of my favorite songs to perform ever in life, because mm-hmm. I just feel the energy that is created from
yes.
what we created in Calvin's front room. Like, so that was in 2018, and we finished it in 2020, so it was mastered by the end of 2020, and then we released it in 2021.
Right.
Yeah, so in terms of like the timeline of it what that taught me, that whole process, especially even the song Jan O's, it was always about surrendering to spirit and surrendering to God. Like, we're not always in control, and mm-hmm. we think that we have all of these plans that we need to do, and we're going to hit this, and it's going to be this, that and the other, and then something happens, and then you're like, okay, you get shifted, and then it's just trusting the shift mm-hmm. and trusting in the divine timing and surrendering to what God wanted to happen. And you know, that I had a lot of resistance in that in the beginning, because I'm like, it needs to come out now, you know, especially from like all of the supporters of my music, like, when are you releasing, when's this EP out? And I was like, I wanted to put it out in the plan was to put it out in 2020, and then the pandemic okay. happened.
But wouldn't that have been a good time as well, because given that everyone's at home, and what made you not decide to put it out then?
Because it wasn't finished.
It just wasn't finished. Okay, fair enough. It wasn't finished.
We had some post-production to do, so it just wasn't ready. And yeah, the time when it came was the right time, I feel.
Absolutely. All right, so tell us a little bit. I mentioned it in the intro before we came on. Amiga Mother Goddess. Please tell us a little bit about the title. Yes. Beautiful cover. We're going to talk about the cover as well, because it's absolutely gorgeous, and I love all of your visuals. I love the video that you've done. I just love all of it. But tell us a little bit about the album title. Where does that come from?
So I had written OMG, and mm-hmm. I remember like just seeing OMG and then seeing Omega and feeling that energy of Omega, because in terms of my spiritual journey, like, I grew up Rasta, and that's definitely my roots and my foundation, but I've explored mm-hmm. into many other ways of connecting with God, and that's through the goddess energy and understanding that there is duality in everything, and as a woman, how important it is to tune into that energy and, you know, certain archetypes, which we'll talk about on the cover as well. So yeah, Omega was like very important. Like, I just kept seeing it, and I remember having a conversation with my younger sister, and I can't remember who said mother and I can't remember who said goddess, but I wanted to, like, it was just an acronym of OMG, and that song had already been written.
Yes.
So it was like Omega Mother Goddess, and I was like, whoa, that is
like OMG.
It's like OMG, it's a proper OMG moment. And
yeah,
it's a huge title, and I was like, wow, like, okay, this has come through for a reason. Yes. And it was writing from a perspective of me wanting to share what I wanted to share, and for the music to be, you know, to come through in that way. Within the tracks, there's such a fluidity in them as well, like in terms of we go from different genres. It's
just, yes,
that feminine energy.
Yes.
Allowing myself to flow through that, and every single musician, every single engineer, every single person that has been part of this project has really honored that energy. And I felt that was really, really important to come through. So yeah, that was Omega Mother Goddess. And I was going to change it as well. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to change the name. And then...
Why?
This is actually the first time I've spoken about it publicly.
Okay.
I guess because I wanted to shrink myself in a way, like, really. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a big title. Like, is this really what it's supposed to be? And then Spirit was just like, yes, it is. And I had to just surrender and trust that.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting that you mentioned that, like, as an artist, you know, because, I mean, from an outside looking in, you know, you always think artists are very confident. And, you know, what is it like for you kind of putting things out? And, you know, what is the level of...
Oh, my gosh. It's the scariest
anxiety
thing.
Because you just mentioned it now, and I never would have thought that. Like, you're like, this is it. This is the name. We're going with it. But,
yeah, like, I have moments of expansion and contraction. And I'm like, especially with releasing music, I'm no longer in control how anyone is going to receive this.
Right, sure.
And it's my child.
Right.
So there is a level of like, oh my gosh, is this going to resonate with people? Are they going to like it? It's different. It's niche. Like, even the cover, like, you know, I'm literally expressing my femininity in a way that I have never really allowed myself to be
before.
So even from that, and then the music is so intricate and it means everything to me. So you want to protect that. But then I'm like, I was given these messages to share. So I have to let go of my ego and share. So yeah, I do get nervous when it comes to putting out music. I'm a lot more comfortable on stage because I've always performed.
Right. So what's the difference then? Is how would you differentiate that? Are you, because being in the studio, putting your music out, putting it all together, you think, you know, that's your baby, and then you're on stage, but you're in front of all these hundreds and thousands of people.
I love it. I love to be able to tune into the energy and uplift the vibe with the music, with my band, and just or the musician or the PA, whatever it is, able to, like, just transform that energy. And whereas when someone listens to my music, they're doing that, and I'm like, I'm not aware of that. So that was definitely something that I had to go through with my own ego and not be in control, just like Jano says, like, you have to surrender.
Absolutely. Well, that's a lesson for any creative then, you know, and anyone just listening. Just, I think what I'm picking up from you, Tishai, is that it's not about us, you know. And I think I mentioned this before in another interview, or somebody mentioned it to me, that it's about service, and that doesn't stop where it comes to your, you know, being an artist and artistry. you know, you're serving the world with your talents, with your music and your gifts. And obviously it's going to be out there for the public and up to public scrutiny. So, okay, I can understand that. So the confidence is there when you're on stage because you see you and you're just like looking like a totally goddess, completely owning it. And then obviously there's the other part of it. So that's quite interesting. So yeah. Talking about the cover then, because the cover is absolutely gorgeous. How's that process as an artist? And for anyone listening, like how much work goes into that?
Yeah, in terms of like even choosing the photographer that I wanted to work with.
Yeah,
I remember seeing her photos, and her name is Badass Noodles on Instagram, and I was just like, oh my god, she's gonna shoot my album art. And I just loved it. And I just like with her photography, I felt like she captured the energy which I really wanted. So
yes. And how would you surmise that energy? Because for me, it's just so warm, it's golden, it's regal. But what is it for you? Why you chose her specifically?
The essence of the power that is within that person.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I felt. Their soul. Their aura. I felt like she captured it really well, and she edited the photo as well, and the set design was by my stylist Yolanda. So she styled me and also created the set design as well. And I had wanted to pay homage to all of the musicians that have had the wicker chair, the peacock chair, like that's iconic as well.
Yes. And yes,
being on the throne, as I look like, you know, when a woman's legs are open, she is giving birth, she is open, you know. It's like being comfortable with my stance and with my power, and allowing that to, you know, even I look at it and I'm like, wow, that's me. I am powerful. I get reminded by these photos, because not every day I wake up and I'm like, yes, I'm, you know, on point, and I'm gonna do this, that, and the other. Like, I'm an emotional being, you know, and I question myself, and, you know, and I wanted to bring the elements of the warrior goddesses in there. So we've got Sekhmet, which is a Kemetan goddess, on the side of there as well. And we've got the fertility doll, which is the fan, just bringing the Amiga mother goddess.
Wow. Yeah.
Space, and there's sun rays all around me, which is what Badass Noodles also popped in there, because my name Tasha means sun. So
okay,
just capturing all of those things. So I shared that. These are the layers, these are the images that I want to, because when you look at it, I want it to also, the intention was to unlock parts of someone as well as they're looking at the art, because art does that.
Yes, most definitely. I see stability, I see strength, I see warmth, I see love, the essence. I totally get what you mean, and all the little kind of symbolic positionings, and yeah, it's beautiful, beautifully, beautifully done. So with being an artist, obviously the visuals, especially now in this kind of social media age, are so important, not just the video, you know, the concept of the artwork for the cover, but just in terms of just posting. I mean, the ordinary person, ordinary business person, like, struggles with that, I know, through doing the work that I do. But how have you found it being an artist, you know, and things that have you ever had a moment where you put something out and you're like, you've got to take it off because it's too controversial, or things like that? Have you ever had any of those moments?
I feel like even with a lot of what I have to say, sometimes it's not even controversial. I just allowing myself to share. So recently, in the last year, I've been sharing a lot more on my Instagram or my stories, and rather than just being this artist that no one knows anything about, I've wanted to share parts of my personality, my journey, just who I am, because. Yeah, like, I've hid that part of myself because I wasn't comfortable with who I was. And still up until the other day, I was talking about, I can't remember the specifics. So I was just talking to the camera. I was talking to whoever wanted to hear it. And afterwards, I was actually talking for a good 3 minutes on my Instagram story. And I was afterwards, I had this moment of like, oh no, oh, should I have been saying that? It, like, are they going to receive
it? Wait, what was it that you were saying? What was it?
Like, let me tune in and remember. Because I talk a lot.
That's okay.
I was talking about like abundance and how everything around us is abundant, and we need to tune into that energy to bring it into us, and also by knowing, and I was on my walk and I just sat down and I was observing nature, and I was like, nature just does what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
It grows.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't think about, my plant is not thinking about, is it going to grow tomorrow? Like, it's just going to grow if I water it, you know? But when you're outside, like the nature outside, it knows itself, it knows its rhythms. And mm-hmm. I find that within us, we forget our purpose. And it's important to tune in with nature to remind ourselves about who we are, and also to lean into another level of trusting ourselves. Like, if you feel like you trust yourself a lot, go to the next level. And that's what I was sharing, because that's what I was initiating myself through. So as I'm in my vulnerable moments of shifting, I like to share those things too. And yeah, it was just, you know, the inner child or the wounded part of me that, times when I spoke, if I spoke my truth, it wasn't necessarily received well. That part came into my brain for like half a second, and then I was just like, no, we said what we said, and we're gonna let that run. And then, you know, it impacted a few people. They messaged me back and they're like, thank you so much for sharing this.
Oh, positively. Okay, good.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow. See, when you trust yourself, the magic happens. So, yeah, as much as people see me as this super confident person that is owning it, yeah, I do own myself, but I also am learning to own the parts of myself that need work too, and owning that and moving through that and initiating myself to become the better version of myself. So that's why I'm so open about, you know, the contraction moments, because I never used to be like that before. I'd be like, oh yeah, everything's fine, everything's great, and yeah, it's not really a thing, because I wanted to be perceived as something that I wasn't, so no one would question. I wanted to be perfect, basically, and then I just had to be like, I'm not perfect and no one's perfect, and I have to own that. So I just love that it's owning it with Iola, because
Wow! I'm just sitting here listening to you. I'm like, I will be speaking like I'm speaking through you, and it's just interesting to hear. And I think that this time, I don't know for you personally how it's been for you, but you said that your shift has been quite recent. And I think this time, during this pandemic, for so many of us, particularly as African, you know, people of the African diaspora, melanated people, have really kind of had a time to almost go in and have some retrospection, some introspection, and to do some real shifting and growing and getting to know ourselves, you know, and some of us having to face our deepest, darkest selves. Listeners, you can't see Tashai, but she just gave me the look like, yes, girl. But having said that, how has it been for you, especially like personally, and, you know, more so as an artist, because obviously that's so entwined in your personal makeup, being an artist. And then you had the COVID, and then you had the lockdown, and then you had nothing agwan, no events, no gigging. How did that impact you? And how did you manage that process of coming to where you are now?
Okay, so pre-pandemic, I was finding that I was losing myself to the artist Tashai Makeda. So the woman Tashai, I was not feeding her. I wasn't giving her, like, I lost myself, like, off the stage. So I prayed. I said, I need to figure out who I am again, because I've not had, like, I've become a new person and I don't know who that is. So I had, like, had a really successful sold out show at the Hideaway, and then 4 days later I went back to Ethiopia because I knew that one of my family members was going to pass away. So I was like, spirit was like, you need to go. So I went,
okay,
and to go back inside myself and discover. And then while I was out there, because I went in January, literally this time 2 years ago, we went on the 20th of January, actually.
And
I remember, like, watching the news and seeing, like, coronavirus. And I was just like, well, if I'm supposed to die of coronavirus, then I'm going to die. Like, that was my first thought, because I saw, like, how people in the community that I was in were, like, so scared of this thing.
Yeah.
And initially I was just like, okay, like, if that's my destiny, then that's my destiny. I have to accept that. And I came back to London, and yeah, very shortly afterwards, we were in lockdown, and I was very much like, I'm supposed to be finishing my EP. Okay.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? And it was a very introspective time. Like you said, I had to go inside. I had to go inside on it in a way that I knew that I needed and knew that I wanted. And what makes Tashi happy? How can I fill up Tashi's cup? And yeah, I started to do those things, and just the self-care. I was really able to slow down because I found, I was like, how on earth did I used to do all of those things before?
Why?
Like, I honestly I'm not willing to do that anymore anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just making myself so busy, saying yes to everything, but not saying yes to myself. So knowing that Tashi, the person and the spirit and my all of the parts of me, that comes first, because without that, there is no art. I'm not able to give if I can't give to myself. So it really, really taught me that. I definitely had missed being on the stage, but once we were allowed to to meet people and stuff, like, I started a little online live session called Roots
Sundays,
which was really cool because that allowed me to, like, tune into the songs that have helped me and share that. And also, like, okay, there's regularity, there's routine, there's structure around my day, and also what I'm going to give to the audience, because I wasn't necessarily able to drop the EP. So I needed to, like, keep myself going and keep myself creative.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we wrote quite a few songs together, myself and James, and songs that aren't on the EP, lots of demos and stuff. So they're there. We'll see what happens with those.
There's more to come.
Tuning into my own voice in a way, because especially at the beginning of lockdown, when we weren't allowed to, like, meet with anybody, I just had me and my voice, and I had a djembe drum at the time, and I wrote, like, these chants and all of these layered songs. And
just for anyone that's not aware of what chants are, or what do you mean by that? And
I guess they're songs, but with lots of lyrics. For me, it's like affirmations or things that I'm calling into, or reverence to God, or things that I want to release, or things that I want to call it in.
Okay.
And just connecting with that. Like, very just short songs, basically.
Yeah.
Rhythms of words.
Yeah. But very powerful. We know that how they impress upon our subconscious and, you know, and just the rhythm of it and the repetition is so powerful. I'd love to. And I also love, in terms of, like, the sharing element of you being online, I love the fact that you also brought the audience in with the competition that you run as well. How was that experience for you? Because I saw so many, like, I was just, like, loving the page, loving, like, everyone sort of getting their little spin on, you know, your music. And
oh my gosh, the Root Soul Challenge.
The Root Soul Challenge. Yes.
So yeah, like, literally when we had done the song, like, back in 2020, I was like, yeah, we're going to do a challenge because I want people to share their roots and their soul.
Yeah.
And what comes up for them when they hear those words and how that resonates. And yeah, every single person that tuned into that, it was a really beautiful way for me to even tune into people that wouldn't necessarily share themselves. Like I had some submissions of people that weren't artists and they just wanted to be part of it.
It was beautiful. But on that, I'm going to segue a little bit onto the kind of essence of being an independent artist in this digital age and what that means, because I've found a lot of people still don't know about Bandcamp. And I really want to shout out Bandcamp. This is not any sponsored thing or anything like that. But yes, we all know about Spotify and we do like to listen to these platforms. But I saw a post, a meme, and I just wanted to just mention it because the numbers are astounding. And it said, Spotify has made $67 billion this year so far. Record labels make $1 million an hour off streaming. Artists make, it was like 0.0038, not even 38 cents. It was like something ridiculous, 0.000 per stream. And our rate is decreasing, he was saying, while Spotify and labels rates increase. And he was basically urging people, if you want to do indie artists a favor, please visit our band camps once a month. Tashai, what do you make of that? And what's your take on being an independent artist in this digital space and these platforms?
Yeah, it's capitalism again, you know, like the industry harvesting energy from creatives, which they have been doing for since the music industry was created. It was never for the artist, and it's just been given a different name and it's all glossed over. Oh, like the accessibility. I use Spotify myself personally, because it's accessible. I've been conditioned into streaming, but I do support the artists that, like, I really love their stuff and I'm like, yep, I want to support you. And I've got a record player myself, so I appreciate that side of things.
Yeah.
In terms of, yeah, it's such a...
What would you urge, like, anyone listening, if they're just starting out or if they're an independent artist and they're trying to get their music out there? What's the best strategy that you found? Obviously there's Bandcamp, but like I said, it seems like a lot of people still are, unless you're kind of an artist yourself, you've got artist friends, it seems to be still quite niche. Am I correct in saying that? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say don't, me personally, like with Root Soul, when I first released it, I put it on Bandcamp for like a month before. So those who wanted to buy it, they had the opportunity to do it, and it was exclusive to Bandcamp, which I felt was a really quite cool strategy, because people that really wanted support, they did. And then a month later, it's on streaming and everyone can access it, because I didn't want to create music that was just for Bandcamp. And you can create music that is just for Bandcamp, or, you know, with YouTube, you've got like Patreon and you've got The Floor, you've got different websites that you can use, OnlyFans as well, where you can your supporters can directly support you, but it doesn't stop you from creating things for free as well. So I do feel like it's just being strategic about where you're funneling that energy. So yeah, if you're a new artist, I would say, like, get your friends and family to support you on Bandcamp at first, and then open it up.
Okay.
It is long. Like, I don't find it fun at all.
just being honest.
Yeah. It's absolutely long, especially if you're trying to create get featured in playlists and all of this. And I'm just like, do you know what? I just pray over my music and be like, whoever at heart it's supposed to reach, it will. Mm-hmm. And trusting that too.
Yeah, but I suppose Spotify is the platform where, even if it's just part of your marketing strategy, to get it on there so that it can be kind of found, and like you said,
exactly, and people can access it. I wouldn't say, like, don't put your music on Spotify, but put it on other places, and yeah, share with people And we've got to talk about this fixing. There's a hashtag fix streaming. There's another one called SunStream where you can sign up to that. And yeah, I think
what's that? Is that a campaign? Fix streaming, just for anyone that's listening.
Yeah. So hashtag fix streaming. So if you want to see more information about that, have a look at that. And then there's two other streaming sites that I've came across. I was on one of them for like a month or something. Where I got like, I think I had like 10 streams and I got like £4, which was amazing.
Oh, wow. So yeah. are these alternative platforms where you can basically, the artist gets more of the money?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's Tambra, T-A-N-E-R, but I haven't used that one, but I've heard of it. Okay.
Yeah, but you can literally be on as many of them as you want to.
Yeah, you're not obliged to like just use one.
Yeah. Platform. Okay, excellent. Well, yeah, for anyone listening, that's a great thing to look into, hashtag fix streaming. And there's other platforms that she's mentioned as well, because I just really feel passionate about, with regards to independent artists, you know, not just supporting, investing in the music that actually fuels our soul. Yeah. And, you know, especially when you think about music, it's something that we take for granted. We do take for granted because it's there, it's on the radio, it's on the streams, you can listen to it. But then there's the other side of it where the artist actually needs to be able to eat in order to be able to produce and to keep creating. So yeah. I really just wanted to just highlight this issue and this disparity between the artists, these streaming platforms, and what we can do, you know, as the consumers. Yeah. So anyone out there, if you want to do something, you know, look on those other platforms. Bandcamp is the place to go to buy music. Awesome. And also, yes,
merch on there as well, like physical things and
shows. Okay.
There's this they've got their own app as well if you just wanted to use Bandcamp. What I do like about what's happening now within the music industry is that before you only had at one time like a limited amount of artists that would be successful because of these major labels and stuff, but now the people are getting back the power, and we need to remember that we have the power. So the fact that there can be 20 artists that go to this, you know, that are in the same institution, wherever they are, like you can have as much artists as possible, and I think that's amazing, because we've been conditioned to think that only one person can, especially like, let's talk about female rap, for example, there can only be one female at one time that's running the game. But it's like, no, there's room and space for all of us to express our creativity and express ourselves. I think that's so important, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to self-release, by the way.
Really?
Because it came from my womb. Like my womb started talking to me, and then yeah, it just came, the bass line and the words. I literally wrote it in about 15 minutes.
Wow. Was that a sensation? Like, I'm getting into this. I know it's in the morning, but I'm like...
It's like something inside my womb was knocking. It's just went... Like, listen, because I was trying to write about something that was in my head. Like, what should I write about? And then it just went... And I said, James, my womb's talking to me.
She wants this song, you're gonna write this song.
I was like, a woman, and then I was like, I had this bass line. I was like, James, play this bass line, because he's better at playing than I am. So yeah, it just came through, and I had been doing work, you know, with reconnecting with my womb due to like trauma and things I had gone through, and wanted to really like, yeah, that song was my own healing, you know, especially in the part where I talk to my inner child, you know, little child, don't be scared. I'll be right here by your side. It's our birthright to protect, care and nurture. Like talking to my inner child and talking to the children of this earth, and knowing that the ones that have been marginalized and oppressed, especially as like Black women, like we are, you know, the mothers of creation, and we're constantly being put down. And it's like, in order for us to really bring back the balance, we have to unite within sisterhood. It's so key. And there's so much trauma. Like, I will put my hands up and be like, there's times where I've not been the greatest sister. And, you know, I have to look at myself and own those parts and be like, okay, what was going on with me? And how can I heal this part of myself so I can be greater for the collective? And I had been doing work, you know, with reconnecting with my womb due to like trauma and things I had gone through, and wanted to really like, yeah, that song was my own healing, you know, especially in the part where I talk to my inner child, you know, little child, don't be scared. I'll be right here by your side. It's our birthright to protect, care and nurture. Like, talking to my inner child and talking to the children of this earth, and knowing that the ones that have been marginalized and oppressed, especially as like Black women, like we are, you know, the mothers of creation, and we're constantly being put down. And it's like, in order for us,